You bought them, so now you get them.
And we are going to be sending Chris's love letters to a third world country village, and you
are about to get chickens.
Are getting chickens and a cow.
Ooh, welcome to Fear the Boot bonus episode 24, the chicken episode.
FTB barbecue.
Thursday. Oh, from BattleTech Love.
All right, Chris.
Yeah.
Let's go, man.
All right. I want to give a little bit of context here.
Do we want a little bit of
for anyone that's listening to this show for the first time,
please stop now. Yeah,
go listen to a regular episode. These bonus episodes are just us jerking around with no format, no editing, off topic. And also, if you don't have any idea what's going on here, Chris made the mistake of admitting on the show that he used to romance his then girlfriend, now wife, with first person BattleTech themed love letters. And so we put up a charity auction that if people could pledge enough money to provide food and milk and such to a starving village, this is a real charity, all jokes aside, then we would turn over his love letters to be read on the air. And within less than 24 hours, I put the link up, didn't even do really that much to draw attention to it, and those animals were gone. So people really want to hear the stuff, or they really want to feed folks in the third world. I don't know which, but hey, both is noble. Both are noble. So, Chris?
Yes. You know, and I should say that at the same time, you know, while I was writing these letters, she in turn was also responding in these letters, and she is not a gamer.
Are you set us up for a second charity?
No, those ones I can't seem to find. So I'll have to look more for those ones.
Yeah. But, you know, this begs the question, what exactly would you call this particular fetish that his wife obviously has? Because this girl that he sent these letters to back in the day is now his wife, so she obviously enjoys it.
They've been married for years.
You know, this obviously is, it's her thing.
The thing is, it's like,
she didn't marry me for my love of gaming, let's put it that way.
I was going to say, because it's like, when I talk about my wife and the crazy stuff we do, we're both on the same level. I met my wife in a comic shop.
Uh-huh.
She is a huge nerd. I am a huge nerd.
Cool.
We are huge nerds together. And all the stuff we do is very nerdy. My understanding, Chris, is that your wife is a real square.
Oh,
she's very normal.
She's very normal. she behaves normally. She raises children normally. She, you know, likes to have the occasional drink. She has a glass of wine at night. But she's a normal human being. You know, she does school related activities with the kids, and
which is gamers don't like to drink. I'm not clear on the last part.
I mean, you know, I'm not saying that she's like a complete and total square, but I mean, yeah. But she's not a gamer. She never really.
She's not into video games, comic.
Not
books,
really into video games. Not
sci-fi,
into comic
fantasy
books.
Novels.
I hear stalling.
She does like the action movies. She does like the action movies, but. But no, she's really not. But no, let's go into this. So let me put this in a little bit of context here for you. And that most of the names and things that I mention are names and places that do exist in the BattleTech universe. So this did not just spring from the earth. Because in BattleTech, you have a lot of leeway. You can make up a lot of stuff. But with some of this, I wanted to make sure I was being realistic in what I was doing and in line with, you know, canon in the universe. So I would take planets and things and references that existed in books and wove them into these letters. Now, there's some names and things in here are stuff that I am making up, but there you go. All right, so we're picking up the action here back in April of 1990 as I look on the little postage date here on the envelope. And this is written from Hauptmann Chris Hussey. Hauptmann is the company commander in the BattleTech universe, coming from Fort Quail on the planet of Timbuktu, named after then Vice President Dan Quayle. And this is going to my wife at the time, or my girlfriend at the time, Julie, and she is living on the planet of New Aragon, which is a border world between the Federated Suns and the Capellan Confederation.
You know, actually, Chris, the next street down from mine is New Aragon.
Is it really?
Yeah, it really is.
Huh. Wait, so what?
The next street down from mine.
Oh, like is it really?
Yeah, it's either Aragon or New Aragon. I forget which, but yeah,
New Aragon. It's right there in the 3025 is a border world. So anyway, but this takes place. Then I have it dated September 1st of 3049. So this is pre-clan invasion. All right, I feel funny reading this for some reason. Here we go.
I couldn't imagine.
All right, dear Julie, as you can no doubt see, I am back in my computer. You were right. It does seem like going back to the Dark Ages when you don't use a computer.
No, Chris. Yes. I want more from you. You're a theater major.
Wait until I'm getting. This is all the preamble stuff. So this is kind of the boring stuff here. When I get to the meat of it, I'll slow down. Well, things have been busy here, but it sounds like it's not going well back home. You better be careful. There's someone here who wants to see you alive. And I think that was in reference to there was a little bit of a Civil War action going on in New Aragon at the time. Okay. I love, you know, and she had already at this point sent, we'd already done a couple letters exchange, but this is the earliest one I can, or the most recent one I can find. I loved your letter and your pictures.
The third charity. JPEGs.
Yeah. Pixar didn't happen. The scent was a great touch. All my buddies kept grabbing the letter and smelling it. Remember, because we're in a unit. Okay. I think that it's really cool that even though you can't send smells over interstellar transmissions, Comstar will put them in there if you request it. That's only one of the few times I have respect for Comstar. So, you want to know more about Timbuktu? Well, I've included a map of the planet, which I did, by the way, a hand-drawn map. And I've labeled everything for you, even our base. Timbuk, as we like to call it, is basically a temperate world, similar to New Aragon, but a little warmer, mainly because of the Hades continent. That's a continent with all the seismic and volcanic activity. The people here are very independent, mainly because they are so far away from real civilization. This was written on a typewriter, by the way.
You wrote this on a typewriter?
I did.
Okay.
I guess I've been spoiled. We had a computer with a word processor and a printer back in 1982.
Well, this is on letterhead, though, so you would...
This is not the one with letterhead. That one came later. Anyway.
Okay, go on.
I like that because they are not so awed by Comstar. I've heard that on some backwater worlds, the people practically worship Comstar. Can you believe that? The ruling family isn't too bad. The ruler of Timbuktu is Duke Marshall Sheris. I've met him and his family a couple of times. The political ruler, though, is a real prick. His name is Prime Minister Joshua Dulacci. He does not like having the 11th here, and I was part of the 11th Arcturan Guard at the time.
Was this name made up, or was that like your roommate or something?
No. My roommates and some of my dorm mates are down here later on in the letter. Let's see. Okay. But boy, does he make it known. When we get to leave and go to the city, we are constantly being watched by town guardsmen. The Prime Minister feels that his measly militia unit is enough to stop periphery invaders. Well, then, of course, there is Comstar and the Com Guards. They are starting to get a better reputation than we are. The guards are constantly helping the people with practically everything. That's fine, but we help them too, but it seems that the guards are trying to make the populace dependent upon them. There are a lot of things I don't like about the guards, but you know that. For one, they're lousy defenders. We've had to help them a couple of times when they were being beaten around by pirates. And for another thing, the mechs that they have are all old Starlink designs. And try as we might, we can't get close enough to get a good look at them. And believe me, we have tried, and that's all I'm allowed to say about that. Yes, I am back in my Griffin. Here's where it gets really nerdy on my part. Yes, I am back in my Griffin, but it is not a standard Griffin. I've had it modified when it was repaired. Instead of the PPC that I had, I now hold a large laser there. I also had a medium laser and an extra heatsink added. I like it much better this way. Well, we planned our attack on the Van Morrison Legion. By the time you receive this letter, we will have attacked. And don't worry, I will be careful. So how is your career going? You haven't told me about it much lately. Let's see, we'll skip that part. Oh, okay. Okay, here's where I actually mentioned some of my dorm mates at the time. Oh, guess what? Both Rich and one of the other mech warriors from my company are fathers now. Isn't that wonderful? The other guy is mech warrior Stephen Gertis. He is in my support lance. Rich and his wife Kathy had a boy, and Steve and his wife Jennifer had a girl. Neither kid is named yet, though. Both guys are sending names back to see if their wives approve. Well, I should get going. I hope you enjoy the map, and thanks again for the pictures, even though they are only 2D. I still love them, and you too, but you're better because you're 3D. I will talk to you soon and tell you how the mission went. And then I signed it, Hotmon Christopher Hussey.
He likes big images and he cannot lie.
I cannot lie. All right, so assuming we actually still have people listening, I'll move on to the next one here. Let's see.
Her into this, or did you just start sending these and she just kind of played along?
You know what? If memory serves correctly, I believe I just sent it. And then we may have had a follow-up talk after the first one, but I don't. If we did, it was very, very brief because we wanted to maintain that separate illusion of something going on.
I so think we need to get Julie down on the mic right now.
Well, she comes to Fear the Con. There's definitely going to be an interview.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's fine.
I would just love, I would love to have had a camera on her when she opened up that first letter and she was reading what you just, like what you just wrote there. She's going like, what the,
what the hell is going on?
Exactly. I was like, what's he talking about?
Oh yeah. And most of that stuff, yeah, she had no idea of, and that's not her fault. That's just because she wasn't as, you know, deeply obsessed into BattleTech as I was at the time. Okay, this one here is dated November 1st of 3049, and it is actually not written by me, although it was, but it was written by Maria Esteban, who is the Hauptmann General of the 11th Arcturian Guard.
Oh, Chris is another woman.
Well, no, I think it might be one of those. It might be one of those. Well, let's see. I don't remember exactly what this one says, so let's read this. This is new to me too.
He's trying to make her jealous.
Okay, there are many tasks in being commander of the 11th Arcturian Guards that I dislike. This is my second most disliked task. I regret to inform you that your fiancé, Hauptmann Christopher Hussey, although we were not technically engaged at the time, was captured while on maneuvers on the planet Van Morrison. The reason I say this is because my second most disliked task is because we have every reason to believe that he and his company members that were captured along with him are alive. Judging from the report given by MechWarrior Robert Schmidt, the only member of Chris's company to escape, the unit was on wide scouting maneuvers through Hilly region when the company was ambushed. According to MechWarrior Schmidt, the company was outnumbered and in a bad position. By the time Chris could get his unit to regroup, three of his mechs were already disabled. By the time MechWarrior Schmidt escaped, the unit was in rough shape and their chance of escape was almost nil. The only reason MechWarrior Schmidt escaped is because your fiancé ordered him to do so. When the entire 11th RCT was attacked on Van Morrison, we found them to be well-prepared and well-organized. They caught us off guard and forced us off-planet with moderate losses. Don't worry, though, Julie. My senior officers and I are planning a reattack strategy. We will get him back. Judging from the data tapes of the fight, I can say... Data tapes. Nice. I can say that Chris fought extremely well and hard and gave those pirates a good fight. Believe me, Julie, I know how you feel. I lost my husband in the War of 3039. I was devastated, but do not lose hope. From what I know of Chris, he is a determined person and will not give up. And you will see him again. I'm sure he's thinking of you right now. Signed, Maria Esteban, Hauptmann General of the 11th Arcturian Guard. So there is a little bit of drama going on there, trying to create a little bit more story, a little bit more plot, if you will. And again, with the silence. You guys are killing me with the silence.
You want a standing ovation? Well, you already got the happy ending.
Are you telling me that you're honest to God that engrossed by my juvenile writing skills here in these letters? That they're...
I'm shedding a single tear with joy in my heart.
You're worried about my survival, aren't you?
Well, you know, I actually am. I'm broken up over that last letter.
This is why Mrs. Hussey is such a powerful individual. Because, see, I can understand if you were to write her letters about, you know, things that a typical girl would care about, but you just kind of wrapped it up in some geek speak that she might play along because it's cute or whatever. But you didn't. You're telling her a BattleTech story.
Yeah.
It's like a murder mystery dinner theater, except it's a BattleTech story.
But without the meal, yeah. All right, this one. This one is dated February 15th. Of 3050, so a couple more months now have passed since the last one. All right, dearest Julie, Happy New Year. Hi, I'm still alive. And guess what? You don't know? You give up? I'm coming home. Yes, it's true. In fact, I should be home about a month after you receive this message. Right now, I'm on the planet Fianna picking up more passengers and dropping off some. I'll only be home...
at the pool?
There's a candy bar in the pool. That's not a candy bar. I'll only be home for about 2 weeks, however, and then I'll be able to fill you and everyone else about what's happened to my unit and I.
Oh.
That would be my battle mech unit. I'll tell you right now, it was hell, but we got our revenge. Oh, guess what else? I didn't want to tell you about this till I found out for sure, but I applied for a transfer to the 9th Federated Commonwealth RCT, and it has been approved. So, as soon as I leave New Aragon, I'll be heading for Kimball 2, which is where the 9th FC is stationed. I couldn't believe it when Hauptmann General Esteban told me. I was so excited. Ever since I joined the AFFC, I've wanted to be in an FC regiment. Hauptmann General Esteban also showed me the letter that you had sent, and it was really beautiful. And apparently she must have written back from that one letter, so... But what that says, I honestly have no idea. I hope all this good news is helping you feel better, but I know you will get it better anyway. I love you and miss you very much. And let's see. This next month we'll see more like a year. I got to go and bowl. By the way, happy Valentine's Day. And then sign me. Now, the reason why I transfer myself to the 9th FC is because if you read the Kerensky's Legacy trilogy, you will know that the 9th FC was the unit that fought with Victor Steiner-Davian on, I believe it was Twycross.
Twycross was where they buried them.
Yes, that's where they buried them, and I think the 9th FC was involved in there. But I know the 9th FC, I think, at least engaged them twice. So I was kind of doing some foreshadowing here with the coming of the clans. Okay. Oh, here we go. This is on this one. This one here is on Liren Commonwealth letterhead. Gosh, I wish I could show you here. I suppose I could turn the camera on Skype and you could see it, but
well, I wouldn't do the audience any good. So if you get like a scanner, scan it in or something.
Maybe I'll scan it here.
Send it to me and I'll put it with the show notes if you get it to me in time.
Okay, here we go. This one's dated 15 March of 3050.
When was it actually written?
You just said
3050.
Yeah. This one was actually written on, the post date on it is September 19th of 1990.
Okay, so we're still in roughly the same period of time.
Yeah, this is over the course of a couple months ourselves here. All right. Dear Julie, hi, how are you? Sorry it took me so long to get a word out to you, but I'll explain later. Are you feeling better? I'm a little better now myself. It took me a whole 2 weeks to calm down. Only now do I understand why they wouldn't let you come with. I'm not allowed to give any details, but all I can say is that something is going on up near the periphery border. We're, our company commanders, I mean, aren't even being told very much. But that something is why you couldn't come. You'd probably be much safer on New Aragon anyway. But on to cheerier stuff. I like most of the men in my company. I'm the company commander, but the other two lance commanders are women. One of them, Lieutenant Shelley Sukow, is a little pushy. She commands a support lance. My battalion commander is Commandant John Vincent. Him and I get along pretty good. The RCT commander is Hauptmann General Alvin Kimmel. He's okay. Kimball, too, isn't such a bad planet. Very mountainous, though. There are very few flat areas here. Most of the cities are either built underground or built into the mountains, and some of these mountain ranges are just gorgeous. I'm in a new mech, too. It's a Warhammer. It's 70 tons and not as maneuverable as my old Griffin, but this one packs a much, much meaner punch. Well, I've got to get going. I've got to run my company through some red alert drills. They haven't been doing well lately, but they are getting better. They'd better get better. Nice, lots of uses of better there. Or they're going to catch hell, as your dad would say.
They'll be unable to face Tesla armor in their red alert drills.
Love you and miss you. And I miss you since I've stepped on the dropship and left home. And that was just signed just me at that point in time. All right. That was number 4. Okay, let's see what this last one is. This last one was originally written. This one actually must be, this is quite a gap. This is 26 March of 91, and this is coming from Fort Mozambique on Kimball 2.
91, this is almost a year later.
Almost, yeah. From September to March. Let's see. And this one is dated July 2nd of 3050. Okay. Oh, and here we go. We're actually talking about the clans on here. All right. My dearest Julie, hello again. It has been some time since I wrote you last. It has been some time since I even heard from you. I hope everything is all right. I have been very busy. The whole 9th FC RCT is being transferred to a new planet. I'm not allowed to tell you, however. Secrecy, you know. But needless to say, it's obvious I'm going into battle. Well, I'm sure you know by now what is going on. Those high-tech bandits I talked about before are not high-tech bandits at all. I'm sure you know all of this, but there isn't much I can talk about that wouldn't be censored. Apparently, these invaders from beyond the periphery are calling themselves the Clans, and I guess there are several of them. The clan that is invading into the Federated Commonwealth is known as the Jade Falcon Clan. The others, I guess, are called the Wolf, Smoke Jaguars, and the Ghost Bears. Needless to say, they are quite a force. From what I hear, we are being defeated in every battle that we fight. I guess their mechs are supposed to be better than even the old Starlink designs, but I would be surprised if such things were true. Sometimes it's very hard to separate rumor from fact in these situations. I will say that the idea of going into battle against a superior foe doesn't make me or the rest of my company too excited. I do know for a fact, though, that I miss you very much. I'm growing too anxious here, and I really want to come home soon, but I also know that I am needed, and it is my duty to serve. My men need me, especially if we are going into battle against a superior foe. I certainly hope everything is going well at home. It's been a long time since I talked to anyone from home, and I miss you the most. Well, I should go now. We've got a loader mech under the Courage. That's our dropship. Love you, Chris. That is the last one that I've been able to find anyway. There you go. So I went off to battle.
So how did this all end? I mean, did you wrap up the narrative? Did you just stop doing it one day?
I think the way it ended is that we had the battle. I think there was maybe one more letter describing what had happened. I believe I had said I had gotten captured, but then was freed somehow. And then I was in the process of being captured. I ended up
captured more often than the A-team.
I know. Yeah. I'm not very good at mech warring. But what ended up happening was I was transferred back to New Aragon, and I think we ended it all where we actually did a quote-unquote live-action date where we went out to our favorite Chinese restaurant in New Aragon, and I think that's pretty much where it ended.
You LARPed a date?
Well, only to a certain point. I think it was just after dinner, I think we just flipped back into the real world, and then we just went and watched a movie or something. But yes.
I would have sworn that you were going to tell us that this all actually wrapped up whenever Julie finally sent you a Dear John letter and said, if you don't stop this crap now, I'm never going to write you again.
And I shouldn't make this seem like this was the only way that we communicated, but you know, it was.
Don't break my image. I want to keep it exactly this way.
This was the only way that we communicated. Her and I didn't actually speak about things that mattered in the real world, I think, until like 1993 or something.
Married. Come on.
Actually, Chris,
tell me about the PPC again. Oh, the heat sinks.
I have to say, I think your wife is a nerd saint. She is like totally normal in every way, and you are a freak. And she, because she loves you so much, totally played along with this and went for it. Mm. And went for it with gusto. Good for her.
That's right.
And good for you for being such a freak.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, she is actually, and you know, I guess the gaming side of me would have to say that. I mean, I couldn't believe that she would actually go along with it in the first place, and then B, you know, she continued to go along with it for quite a number of months, which really blew my mind. So it's something I was always very happy with, and something I've always been very fond of her for doing, and you know.
Especially when you hear stories of gamer wives who, when are you going to stop playing those games? I don't like your smelly friends coming over every week. No, she's great, man.
Yes.
Definitely a keeper, as you have found out in your life. So, Chris, are your ears red? Are you blushing at all?
You know, I'm not looking at myself. I think I'm probably blushing a little bit, only because it's weird. Because reading these letters right here at this point in time was the first time I think I've read them in quite a number of years.
For us, this is just mildly amusing. For you, I mean, this has really got to take you back.
It does, because a lot of this stuff I can remember vividly. Like, you know, I made reference to the pictures and the first thing. She had gone to, you know, we lived in Duluth, and so Duluth is right on the tip of Lake Superior. And so what she had done, she'd gone there with a friend of hers and just had some pictures of her taken just, you know, hanging around in the port area. And then she had put those pictures in the letter and sent them to me as if they were essentially pictures from home, and I'm out, you know, on, you know, station wherever I was. So she, too, you know, was really playing along with it. You know, just as much as I was in that sense, and adding those little extra elements to really kind of enhance it all, which, you know, was for me, it was very impressive. So, but it does take me back to, which is, you know, quite a hell of a long time ago, really, when you think about it. It's damn near 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It's kind of cool. I mean, it's totally and utterly geeky, but it's kind of cool.
Well, Chris, it just goes to show you. All women love a man in a uniform.
That's right. That's right. And the AFFC had some pretty styling uniforms as well.
The important thing about making a healthy relationship last over a long period of time is starting off with a long string of lies about who you are and what you're doing.
Absolutely. To hide all the inadequacies that truly exist about yourself.
That's right. All righty. Well, thank you guys for tuning in, and we will catch you next week for a regular episode again. And in the meantime, be sure to check out the blog. We've had a lot of good articles posted out there by a wide variety of people. So,
thanks for supporting a village. I mean, honestly, you guys, it takes a village, I guess, and you guys took it, and now they're actually getting a lot of benefit out of here. So I'm happy to embarrass myself in a certain sense, to take
some children to raise a village.
Absolutely.
That's what we've learned. So, yeah, in all seriousness, I mean, we're making a lot of jokes out of this and stuff, but that really is a real charity supporting real people. So
it's just not really going into Dan's PayPal account. It is for real.
So, yeah, so that's awesome. You know, I thank you all for donating to it. I put some money in there as well. And we've got another charity come up. It's going to be a longer term one that I think is going to be a lot of fun.
You know, I didn't put a single dime into it because I didn't get a chance.
Yeah, that's true.
I only did for one reason. I put money in the minute I put it live. I put it live and instantly donated. Went back and checked it like the following evening. It was already full.
You hadn't even been able to tell me that it was up before it was over.
That's awesome. That's absolutely awesome.
It makes me wonder how much we could have raised if we had set it higher, but I don't know, for next time.
I tuned it down because we originally had a really ambitious number. I'm like, we're not going to get close. We're just going to embarrass ourselves and look stupid. And I probably should have, but honestly, that's awesome. You guys have a lot to be proud of for doing that. Absolutely. Thank you all for all of you that participated or for those of you that were going to and just didn't get out there to do it fast enough. So
thank you, Chris, for being such an excellent sport through all this. Those are really sweet love letters.
I love my Fear the Boot community. I love my gaming community. So I'm happy to do so.
And if you're a guy and you're listening to this, I highly recommend not letting your significant other listen to this episode because A, they will demand something similar of you, or they will beat you up for making fun of Chris Hussey in his awesome love letters.
That's true.
Alrighty. Catch you guys next time.
See you later.
Later.